Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, it's Ashley. Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to let everyone know that this is the last episode in this season, series, whatever it has been. We've done 12 episodes so far. It's been brilliant to be back. I've had such a good time recording. Andrea has had such a good time recording. Our guests have all been just fantastic and just so lovely to interview and so interesting. But this is our last episode for this season. We will be back on Tuesday the 2nd of August, which is in 6 weeks' time. In the meantime, Andrea and I are going to do some bonus episodes for Patreon. So if you're interested, I think we're probably, let's be honest, going to focus on things stemming from Love Island. So if you're interested in that, you can find me on Patreon at Aisling M. Keenan, or if you just Google my name and Patreon, I should pop up, all going well. But thank you so much to every single person who's listened. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for reviewing. Thank you for getting us all the way up in the charts again. It really means the world, and I'm so glad that there's still an audience out there for Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships Podcast. So we're joined by Evan. Thank you so much for being here, Evan.
No bother. Thanks for having me.
we put out a request, I suppose, on the last or one of the last episodes of Private Education to say that we wanted to speak to someone who had been to a sex party. And frankly, I didn't expect to get much of a response. And I had actually begun the process of asking the PRs for Killing Kittens, could they put me in touch with someone? And Killing Kittens, for anyone who doesn't know, is an organization basically who organize these kind of like fetish and BDSM and just, you know, sex parties, basically. They organize them in the UK mostly, but I do actually think they have some here. But then Evan got in touch and our day was made. So talk to us, Evan, if you don't mind, about just briefly your own situation. Are you single? Are you with someone? What's your situation? And then how did you get into the scene of sex parties?
So I'm in a relationship for the past 5 years, completely like monogamous, myself and my partner. And that's fine, but I've been forced him into exploring that kind of underworld of sex, I suppose, in a way. And I suppose just start off, the big difference between like it's sex parties and clubs, I think it's important to differentiate between the two. You know, going to somebody's house for a sex party is basically an orgy. That's the way I look at it. Whereas if you go to an organized event, a club, that's kind of, I think, the more secure, it's more safe. That's the difference. So I think, you know, in a house, it's an orgy, and in a club, it's a party. And that's where I differentiate. But when I went to London, I suppose I studied there. And it's actually before I kind of came out fully. And I was seeing this girl at the time, and she actually had quite a dark side. And that's when she introduced me to the whole Killing Kittens. Actually, was the first time I had heard of it. Now, I actually didn't go because I got cold feet. But I suppose she just introduced me to kind of maybe fetish, role playing, bondage, S&M, chains of whips, excitement kind of a thing. So I suppose that was my first introduction, and then all that ended. but the interest still stayed with me. So I suppose that's how I really got into it first. Yeah.
And tell me, describe to me the first one you went to, whether it was I'm presuming it was an organized event rather than in someone's home.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture walking into something like that for the first time and how much of a new experience that must be, and how kind of intimidating it must feel. So describe the scene, like talk to me about the minute you walked in.
So I suppose the minute I walked into the first event, you kind of knew, I knew what I was going to, me and a few friends. And but we weren't exactly, like, we knew Okay was a fetish party club, nightclub event, big DJs of big names on there, and there always are. So we went there dressed in jeans and runners and t-shirt, really casual, as you would go out on a night out in Galway or Dublin or Cork. And then I remember just being greeted by this man, I think, in a gimp suit, completely dressed top to toe, taking the admission fee. And suddenly I was like, okay, this is the kind of place we're in now. And I was like, I don't think I was fully expecting what I saw. So we were guided into these changing rooms. You weren't allowed in what we were wearing in our jeans or our runners. So you had to go and get changed. So we were like, what are we going to get changed into? So we saw these two guys and they were just going around in their jeans, but their t-shirts were off. So we're like, Grant, we'll do that. So off with the t-shirts, into the cloakroom. And yeah, there was a girl with us as well at the time. And, you know, she was just going around in her bra and that was fine. And like, it seemed all kind of fine upstairs, but really arty. And I think that's what really struck me. It was like more about people. I realized quickly, actually, it wasn't all about just sex and people going there for sex. And like, we weren't there for that at the time either, I suppose. I suppose curiosity killed the cat there. And people were just expressing their sexualities really through dress, through art. It was like a big costume Halloween party, really, is what I can remember. And it was all quite tame upstairs, you know, just very casual. And but then it was kind of once you delved deeper and started exploring the club even further, that's when kind of the darker elements of it came to light.
That sounds like just a whole other world completely. And you mentioned, Evan, on the way in that you came in like kind of like the clothes you'd wear on a night out.
Yeah.
I think anyone would, because you think, okay, I'm going to a party, I'm going to dress up, you know, and then you were met with no, and you're not wearing that in here. I'm just wondering, are there any other rules or any other do's and don'ts for these events? Like what do you need to consider?
Yeah, so majority of them have like strict code conduct and etiquette that you have to adhere by, and like it's strictly no tolerance for anything that isn't laid out in their guidelines. So like, for example, if you were to arrive up in like an army uniform, a nurse's uniform, anything like civil servant, you're not granted admission to most clubs. So they really want you to express like, okay, it's fine to arrive up in your PVCs and your leather and your harnesses, that's all fine, but like, no, there's no like army civil servant kind of uniforms. Now, you could go as like how we went in our jeans. Now, some clubs won't accept that. Were just lucky that they were accepting it on the night, and some have actually theme nights. So the one we went to wasn't a themed night at the time. It was just kind of a basic free-for-all. So I think they were probably more lenient with us that time. But generally, yeah, there's like strict costume dress, you know, this strict way of dressing there.
So when you say, like, what was your intention, if you don't mind me asking, when you were going there? Like, as in, sure, you didn't know what to expect, but did you go there with the intention of, okay, like, I may have sex with multiple people tonight? Like, did that cross your mind? Okay.
No, I was quite strict on that, actually. I was like, no. I suppose because we've been talking about it as friends for so long and stuff like that. So we decided, okay, let's just go and see what happens. But I knew in the back of my head I wasn't going to have sex there and then in that. You know, I was going there to just have a look, see what was going on, what were other people doing. And that was kind of my main reason for going. And again, it was all curiosity, really. And it was like, oh, we'll go for the crack. And look, if we don't like it, we can leave. Turned out we didn't.
and what were other people doing? Like, you know, we were saying upstairs was all kind of arty and casual. When you went downstairs, what was going on? What did you see?
Yeah. So, well, I suppose upstairs it was like a little bit more softer. There was, like, we did see one sex act upstairs. We were just sitting down having a drink, went to the bartender, and like, she's just wearing like insulation tape across her nipples and nothing else, like just bare runners, but nothing else. And I was like, okay. And then we sat down, we were like, you know, having these casual conversations. And then we look across the room and, you know, there's these two guys kissing each other and like a girl giving one of the guys like a rim job. And I was like, oh my god, this is just up here, and everyone's just casual having drinks, like it's not happening. So then we were like, okay, we'll go explore a little bit. So I remember actually needing to go to the toilet at the time. And I actually had to ask the bartender, I was like, where is the bathrooms in here? And she was like, oh, downstairs. I was like, oh God, there's a downstairs. I was like, what's happening up here? What's happening down there? So anyways, I was like, I'm not going alone. So anyways, we all went down anyway. And it's kind of like these little alcoves. It seemed like a cave. There was toilets and like there's no personal space really. Well, there was actually. People really, I suppose they're respectful really of you because there's no tolerance for anything that's non-consensual. But you know, like you're kind of going to the toilet and people are like looking at you, and or else they're like inviting you into a cubicle if that's what you were there for or whatever. So I ended up having to wait until like actually I was waiting my cubicle because I wasn't able to pee when there was so many people looking at me. So I was like, oh God. So I waited for a cubicle and like two guys came out of the cubicle. So I was like, okay, went in. That was all well and good, came out. And I was like, lads, you have no idea what I've just experienced in there. So anyways, we went out and then we went down, like followed the corridor down, and it opened up into this massive room. And that there was like an orgy going on, and there was everything. So like remember on the left there was like a man in a cage, just being like completely kind of dominated and humiliated. I was like it was really breathtaking or something. It was like, yeah, it was really overwhelming, I think. And then, you know, it was kind of like four single beds, and there was, you know, people having sex on those, and then there's just people standing around watching, and anything from kind of like I suppose a cross that people are tied to, and like a lot of it isn't, well I suppose it is all sexual, but like, yeah, you just kind of get all walks of life. And I was just absolutely amazed at everybody's just so nonchalant here, and like nobody's paying any heat. Like if you want to get involved you can, if you don't want to get involved that's grand too. Yeah, it was really interesting. So that's kind of what I noted. Yeah, that was my first experience of it.
Well, blowing your mind. And especially, it's so funny as you're like, you go downstairs and it's downstairs where it all kind of gets that little bit more intense. You said you went with friends. So like me and Aisling are really good friends, but I don't know how I would broach that. I don't know. How did you decide? Like, how did you and your friends decide that this is what you wanted to do? How did that conversation happen? Like, how did you know that you had a group that was, you know, open to that?
So I suppose I went back to like, they were my college friends, and I suppose it was the girl I was seeing at the time, I suppose, that like, so I was telling my friends, I was like, oh my God, she was into all this crazy shit. So they were like, so we're all talking about it, and we're like, God, will we go and we'll check it out? So we did, and kind of that's how we went. Like we're really open-minded, we could talk about anything. And like, again, we weren't out shopping for costumes, and like we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into, really, is the fine line there. We didn't know what to expect. So I think that's why we just kind of fell into it obliviously.
You know, when you were saying there's like an etiquette and there's rules and safety and no tolerance for anything non-consensual, etc. Obviously, that's incredibly important. Before you went, or, you know, like, did you have to sign? I was kind of wondering about privacy as well. Like, did you have to sign anything to be like, I will, you know, go by the guidelines and I won't divulge anyone's identity that I see there? You know, like, how do people feel comfortable to go there knowing that they might run into someone from work who all of a sudden knows that they were in a cage at the weekend being dominated?
So, no, you don't have to sign anything. You go in, but they're strictly like, so your phones are taken, they're put into a locker. So that like completely, I suppose, eliminates any kind of exposure of anybody that's in there. And I think as well, like, you know, okay, if I'm in there and then I see my boss in there, you know, and, you know, you're going to respect that, you know, you're not going to be like, well, I saw my boss because they're going to be like, well, I saw F, you know? So I think there's that mutual respect, like unspoken mutual respect that everyone has in there. And I think it's down to like just being open-minded, just non-judgmental of it. Mm-hmm. But then you have to remember as well that there's always staff and there's always security around, and it's constantly monitored. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's quite safe. And then I go back to like, if you were to have these orgy parties in your house, it's private, you know, there's no safety. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nobody monitoring that. There's nobody there to say, well, no, you can't record me, or, you know, you know, there's none of that. So yeah.
Have you experienced that? Have you been to a non-official organized sex party event?
No, but I have been invited to them, like through kind of dating apps and stuff like that. Okay. But it's just something that didn't appeal to me because then I have friends that have worked in sexual health and you hear these horror stories that have kind of gone on there. But no, it's you just don't know what's kind of going to happen there. And I suppose, you know, like the chances of like rape is very high there. The chances of like STD transmission, hepatitis, any kind of blood-borne diseases, HIV, they're quite like significantly higher because if you go to these sex fetish clubs, you know, there's constantly like bowls of lube and bowls of condoms all around the place. And, you know, there a lot of these sex parties, I think they have a lot of, like there's a lot of unprotected sex there. And if you go in and say you're one of 10 in there and everybody's having unprotected sex, like, are you going to be the one to man up and say, well, actually, I want to wear the condom? Yeah, and then they're going to, you know, are they going to tell you to, like, okay, well, go home or worse?
Yeah.
So no, that never really appealed to me. And then again, like you're dealing with like a lot of these places have, you know, they're dealing with drugs. And I'm not saying there isn't drugs in the sex and fetish clubs. There are, but there's, you know, you come across, I suppose, your likes of like your MDMAs and all that, but you're not going to have your injectables, you know, and that's the difference as well. So I think you just have to be really conscious and just to be really responsible. So no, I wouldn't be into the kind of orgy at home parties at all.
I just wonder, because I know you were talking about this was kind of the London scene. What's the scene like here? What's it like in Ireland?
So I don't dabble in Ireland at all, really.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't. And like, again, I suppose, as I said, myself and my partner, we're in a monogamous relationship. And I suppose we do go, like, you know, we've been to Kit Kat in Berlin and we've been to clubs in Hungary and stuff like that. So really, I think it's kind of, since I've kind of fallen into this relationship as well, it's kind of like this thing kind of do away from home rather than what we do at home. Like we don't. Yeah. So really, I suppose I've just had no interest in the Irish scene. I do know there are. And then there's like, you know, there's bathhouses, there's gay saunas and all that in Ireland. But again, not something I would frequent here.
In terms of like sexual orientation, like how does that work? Like say, okay, so you're a gay man, I'm a straight woman. Like if I was to attend and you were to attend, like, is it just a sexual free for all? Or is there, you know, are there ones specifically for straight people? Are there ones specifically for people who have a preference one way or the other? Do you know what I mean? Like what's the, when you go, who's there? Like, and how do you know?
The way I look at it is kind of, a lot of people that go there are kind of like maybe queer, in a sense, like really expressing that kind of that other side to them. And you can be straight and queer, you know, in a sense. So that it really doesn't make a difference. It'd be different if you were going to like a strictly gay club and then, yeah, okay, you're going to, everybody in there is going to be of the LGBT kind of community. Yeah. But there are mainstream clubs out there that, you know, and there are some gay clubs actually out there, like Kit Kat will say in Berlin. They have gay nights, they have straight nights, you know, they amalgamate and it's whatever's advertised. And I think that's what draws you. So yeah, I wouldn't be worried going as a straight woman to a gay club either, because that does happen, or even a straight man to one of these places. I think they're great in, yeah, I do think they're a really good thing to do for even married couples. And I think people that aren't able to talk about sex.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
at home, and maybe that they're not happy with their sex lives, or maybe, I don't know, if they get a bit bored, and they're afraid to talk about it, but to bite the bullet and go to one of these places and be like, okay, well, I might like that, or that looks nice, or that'll look good on you, or, and I think it kind of opens up conversation really amongst the relationship as well. Yeah. And again, you know, you don't have to do anything.
You mentioned going to KitKat in Berlin with your partner.
Yeah.
How do you go in there with ground rules? Do you know what I mean? Do you go in there and do you say, like, you have a conversation between, and I know you said you're like a monogamous relationship. Yeah. So do you go in there and are you like, okay, we're going in for this reason, that's the line, yeah, that's what we're doing? Or is it kind of just a little bit freer?
I suppose it's like we're very trusting of one another, you know, we're fully faithful in our relationship, and, you know, that's great. And we don't want an open relationship, and that's fine. And there are ground rules. The other thing as well, I suppose, is like, we know not to be jealous as well, because that can happen, because, you know, we could be even just drinking at a bar and somebody might come along and start chatting him up or start chatting me up, you know, but at the end of the day, we know we're going home with one another, and, you know, let them chat away, you know, because we both know we're not going anywhere. We're stuck by one another's side. And it's nice to get chatted up, like, do you know, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you know, okay, well, this is my prize and I'm going home with them, nobody else's.
Genuinely, if it meant I would get chatted up by a stranger, I may well go to that, because, like, it's the nicest thing. Like, it genuinely is. It's the nicest thing ever. And it's been donkey's years since anyone chatted me up, you know. that sounds exhilarating, even just that. How tame am I? And talk to me about the cost of these things. So, like, is there cost involved? Do you have to pay in? Do you have, like, is it like a club's charge, or what is the situation there?
It's more expensive, like, so you'd be paying like 40-50 euros into a club. Really, it doesn't matter really where. Some places like Torture Garden, let's say in London, they have, you know, you pay your ticket and you have to arrive by a certain time, and then you're charged £10 extra after a certain time as a fine for being late.
Interesting. Why is that?
I don't know. I suppose they just kind of want everybody there and then, and to have good fun, and because within the event there's loads of different other events going on. So, like, sometimes you have like runway shows going on with, and they're dressed up in, like, again, I suppose, kinky outfits, but, like, they're done by, like, really good designers, well-known designers across Europe, you know, and they're putting on these shows, and, you know, so you can be there for that, or, you know, there's a DJ there and you're there for that, you know. It's, you don't have to go into the basement, or you don't have to go. I think it's all about being there and just experiencing the vibes with everybody else, and just being non-judgmental, allowing your creative side flow. And if you go into any of your Instagram pages, you know, you'll see what I mean by just the costumes. It's like a Halloween party at the end of the day, and people get a buzz off that. And again, just getting ready for that and dressing up for that is really fun, you know.
When you and your partner have gone to these together, have you had sex at them with your partner, or have you just been observers, or what's like as in, what do you, like, sexually, what do you get out of it? Because I'm sure if I went to one, like, there's certain things that I would like to observe, there's certain things that I, you know, would be drawn to. What was kind of, you know, sexually, what did you guys get out of it?
Like anybody else, you're going to be kind of shifting or whatever, you know, maybe. And the thing is, you do get turned on by it, strangely enough, and you might not think that you do, but you would. And then, but that's something you can take with you home a lot of the time. You know, there are people out there, like us personally, like, we're not against it, but, like, I remember there was a time when we were kissing, and like a guy came up and, like, more or less inviting himself in for, like, a kind of like a three-way kind of a kiss thing. But, like, we were like, no, sorry, you know, and they were, like, almost apologetic. They were like, oh, so sorry, you know, and, like, and I think it's just, yeah, it kind of, like, calms the nerves. So at least, you know, if you are getting involved in sexual acts and you do want it, again, to stay monogamous, people are going to be respectful of that. They are going to watch you, but they won't get involved.
Just the nature of it, what I'm imagining is, it sounds like there's a lot going on. So, and you just described there in a situation where someone came over and was like, eh? And then you're like, no. But is it like that? Do people, is it body language? Do people, or do they actually explicitly ask? Because I know you said consent is a really big thing, but I'm just wondering, in the heat of the moment, or what seems to be a really charged atmosphere where people are, you know, there's different acts going on, people are watching, is it a case of you kind of approach and then it's like, no, or, you know what I'm trying to say, how's that handled?
You know, I suppose some people would throw kind of, you know, the side eye or and then actually a lot of the time it's the maybe the couple or the trio or the you know, whoever's having sex there or engaging in those activities, you know, they're the ones actually to invite the observers in, actually, a lot of the time, rather than the observers just being like, oh, I'll join in here. So actually it's kind of the etiquette, like, you know, stay where you are until you're invited, which again is nice.
It actually sounds really respectful. And when the person came up to you and was like, yeah, can I kiss you guys? Like, they obviously didn't wait for an invite. Was that because it was just a kiss rather than, you know, full sex? Or was that just, had you been giving someone the side eye yourself and inviting someone in? Or how did that kind of happen?
I don't know. I suppose, I think, you know, it could be anything. It could be down to somebody being new there as well, you know, like you don't know who's in at these places. Yeah. So did they know the full etiquette of it? I don't know. I don't know that. But I don't know. I suppose, you know, they might have just been like, oh, look at those two hotties over there.
Would you have any advice for someone who is considering going to one for the first time and isn't sure what the rules are, who can you approach, who can't you approach? Like, you know, are you allowed to just strip down and start riding in the middle of the bar? Like, what advice would you have for someone who's a first timer who might just not know how to behave, I guess, when they're there?
I think I'd say first things, don't go alone, I think is the first thing. And I know that kind of sounds like I'm contradicting the whole safety element to these places, but I think actually you're just more comfortable going with somebody else, and the person you're going with, you're going to have to be really, really trusting of, and, you know, you're going to see things together, see parts of each other maybe that you know, that you wouldn't see normally. And so I think that keep an open mind, I think, is another really important tip to make. And also, it's really hard to explain, but it's like everything just falls in. You kind of learn it as you venture through the club, and you get the vibe, you know, and you do feel the safety, and you do see authority there, as far as you do see the security. So, you know, let all your prejudices and let them go, and forget everything you've ever heard and all the horror stories about them. And I think you just have to go for yourself. But yeah, just to be prepared as well, I suppose, for what you're going to see. And there are going to be things that you don't want to see, you know, and they're going to be there, and it's just you can remove yourself from that part, you know. And if you don't like it, if you do find it sleazy, you know, go back upstairs, have a drink. There's like a big DJ going on, or, you know, have a dance, and, you know, you can revisit it later. But I think you have to remember as well that, you know, if you do feel concerned, there's staff there to help you.
And like that, if you do initially find it sleazy or find yourself uncomfortable, like you said, there's more to do there than just like watch sex happen, you know, there's more there. That's really good advice to kind of take it handy and just ease yourself in, I suppose, for the experience. Evan, I could literally talk to you for hours more about this. I would like to know every single sex act that you witnessed, but I won't. I won't keep you for the rest of the day.
I'll be here for hours.
Like, I'm just so, I'm convinced that's why I have a podcast, because I'm so nosy, and I just, it's basically a vehicle for me to get people to talk to me about things they wouldn't otherwise. So Andrea and I both are very appreciative of your time today, and thank you so much for coming on.
No bother. Thanks for having me.
So Andrea, tell me, did speaking to Evan make you want to go to a sex party?
Yes, it did. Yes, it definitely
did. I mean, it just, first of all, it sounds so much fun. Second of all, it sounds really safe, which was something that would be a concern of mine. And then it sounds very much like I kind of thought maybe if I went to one, I would feel under pressure to take part. But it didn't sound like there was any pressure to be had.
That's it. Not at all. I feel like it's something that you could definitely kind of ease your way into. So you could go and just hang out by the bar and kind of the place where it's a little bit more, you know, music focused and drinks focused, and then slowly but surely make your way down into, you know, the deeper levels, so to speak.
It's very, yeah, that's very metaphorical, isn't it? The fact that like the dirty stuff happens downstairs, like it fits, really fits. Yeah, so was there anything that Evan said that kind of intrigued you or made you go, oh, I didn't realize that? Like when he said about that, like the clothes that he went in weren't acceptable for the sex party, I was like, interesting. I would never have thought no. They'd make you change clothes.
That's the thing. I never would have thought you'd change clothes, but I also would completely have thought that I would have gone dressed as I'd gone for a night out, because that's how you get dressed up, or that's how I get dressed up anyway when I'm going somewhere. And yeah, that was just fascinating to be like, no, that's not.
I guess that was the type of party that he was going to. Like the impression I got was the party that he was going to, or the organized event, I should say, that he was going to, because he was very specific about the differentiation between a sex party that's organized in someone's home versus an actual, you know, event. So the impression I got from the one he said he had gone to, or the ones he had gone to, was that it was kind of a, you know, fetish BDSM, like leather, you know, PVC, like sex toys, whips, that sort of thing. It was like kind of a bit more fetishy driven than just like, let's all get together and have a drink and then everyone bone.
Yeah, definitely. That did sound like how it was. But just other bits and bobs, like the etiquette and I just loved how respectful it sounded everybody was, and the sexual and personal safety that's taken into consideration when people go through those doors. And I love the punctuality.
Oh my God, be there on time. Punctuality. Yeah, be there on time. And if you're late, we're going to charge you. Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. Late fees. Like late, I say bring in late fees for more stuff, frankly. Yeah, so I found it really interesting. I think it would make me consider. Now, obviously, this is something that you would have to discuss with your partner, and I would have to discuss with my husband before I could make a decision like that, because it is obviously very, very intimate thing. But like, it would make me consider going to one to experience it, as in not to maybe take part, but definitely to just, you know, see what happens, see what it's like, see who's there. And it does sound a lot more respectful. Like even when Evan was saying about, you know, him and his partner were kissing at the bar or whatever, and someone came up and approached them to try and, you know, get muscle in on the kiss, I suppose.
Involved.
And then when they were like, oh, no, thank you. The person was like, oh yeah, no bother. Absolutely. You know, that kind of sounds like, it kind of sounds nice. Like as in, I previously probably would have thought that a person might've been a bit put out that you weren't willing to take part, or that you weren't willing to let them get in on your action, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. No, that's the thing for me, that it takes the pressure out of it, but it also fills you with a bit of a sense of, like, you know, safety, really, you know, and the comfort that you'd feel knowing that no means no.
Totally. No means no is an important thing to you know, especially in an environment where like that, where you know, a lot of people would assume that the bottom line is let's everyone, you know, have sex, or, you know, kiss, or, you know, give each other rim jobs, like that girl, you know.
Yeah.
giving a rim job while
up on level one.
I mean, up on level one, a rim job on level one strikes me as I mean I wouldn't be expecting a rim job on level one. I would be expecting rim jobs downstairs. I mean I obviously, literally, that's where rim jobs happen, but I mean I don't mean that. I mean it, like, I just can't imagine myself. I'm trying to picture myself in a bar that I've been in, like, so a Mac Cafe in Sen. I'm standing at the bar and I turn around and there's two men kissing and one girl in one of the men's bum holes, you know. That's startling, to say the least, and the fact that was just right there indicates to me what must have been going on elsewhere in the club.
Yeah, but like, as Evan said, you can kind of, you don't have to look at everything. Do you know what I mean? It's not like
I think I'd struggle to look away from that.
But I mean, if you felt deeply uncomfortable by something, or it didn't sit well with you, or if it was something jarring, I'm joking.
No, I get it.
But also, like, you kind of, like, you go in being a little bit intrigued to be like, what are other people doing? And, you know, what are they up to? I'd like to know.
Yeah, I will. I would like to know.
I would like to know.
What I'm going to do is, we may
organize our membership to.
I'm going to try get a suppress membership. No, what I was going to say was that maybe because this is, the season is coming to an end, sad face. So what I was going to try and do for next season maybe is get someone on from that club Killing Kittens, or that organization Killing Kittens, which basically they have organized sex events. So I'm going to maybe try get someone on to talk about, you know, how they work and what their rules are and all that kind of thing, because I'm really, really interested, I have to say, in all things sex party, having spoken to Evan now.
Can I suggest that we do a private education field trip?
A private education field trip to a sex party?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, we probably
DM me if you want to come with us.
What?
I said DM me if you want to come with us.
Come along. Well, as Evan said, probably just from his description of, like, no recording or nothing, maybe we could go to one of the venues pre-party and discuss stuff with somebody. I don't know. I'm just trying to get us there.
But look, I mean, there's no law against talking about what you saw. So while we won't be able to bring our phones, we can bring our eyes and ears, you know.
Fair.
I probably won't be bringing my mouth or any other orifices, but, you know, I'll bring my eyes and my ears. So with that, me talking about my orifices, I will wrap things up. And until next time, from Andrea and I, stay safe.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.